Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network for this Thursday, July the 30th. And we thank you for listening to AFR. This is a live program you're listening to, unless you're listening to it delayed. All right, Ray Pritchard's with us. Good morning, Brother Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So let me, it says Ed's here, Ed Vitagliano.
Yes, that was my laugh moments ago.
Yes, and Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Brother Fred?
Doing great.
Okay, Ray, what you've been gone for like?
I have been gone most of
6 months.
Yeah, since last year.
Tell us about your trip. Of course, you live in Kansas City.
Right. We got loose. My wife and I got loose. And we, under cover of darkness, we slipped out to our car.
Regardless of the police's ankle bracelets.
Without your face mask on.
Without my face mask on. That's right. We slipped out under cover of darkness. We were gone for about 18 days on a trip. Went up to Rapid City, South Dakota. Spent a day or two. Visited beautiful Mount Rushmore, Tim. You got to go sometime.
I'm jealous.
It's still there, by the way. I'm happy to say that.
It's a sign. It's a testimony to the oppressive nature of the American political system.
Listen, every American needs to go. There were thousands of people there that day, and I think maybe 30% of the people were wearing masks. Everybody else was just looked like a normal, beautiful day in South Dakota. And then we made our way to Northern Montana, up near the Canadian border, to visit some relatives up there, and then out to Missoula, Montana, where I preached at Church of the Gates, where my son is the pastor. And then our son, Mark, and his wife, Vanessa, went away for a few days, and we did grandparent duty with the four kids up there. And all I can say is we had a wonderful, wonderful four or five or six days, and I was so tired. I was so worn out when that was over. Then we, along the way, we did pick up a puppy, our Aussie Doodle, 12-week-old puppy named Sadie, and we brought her back with us to Kansas City and got back. What day is this? Thursday. So we got back Tuesday afternoon from our long sojourn to the great American West. Glad to be back home.
Brother, I just got to tell you, would you publicly say again the kind of dog you got?
Aussie Doodle. Aussie. You know, you got these Labradoodles and Golden Doodles.
I don't care. I don't care, Ray. I don't care how it got here. You shouldn't have a dog that's got the word doodle in it.
Hey, you know, these poodle doodle mixes, Ed, they're big. You know, that's really popular.
Yeah. A poodle. I don't know about all the other variations, but poodles are actually good family dogs, aren't they?
Well, they're wonderful. And somebody took an Australian Shepherd and mixed it across with a poodle. Uh-huh. And this little dog, this little Sadie, she's a brilliant. She's pretty much got us trained. We're 1 week into it, and she's pretty much got us the way she wants us to be.
My wife and I have had dogs that were smarter than our kids.
We used to have Basset Hounds, and Sadie is so far beyond the Basset Hounds. That's a low bar to get over. I love those boys, but all they did was just roll around in the grass and kind of drool and stuff. Sadie actually knows what she's doing, so far so good.
An Aussie Doodle. Okay. I remember the first time I saw I remember how it impacted my life when I first heard the expression Labradoodle.
Yeah.
Labradoodle?
I think it's right. Labradoodle.
Right.
Anyway, so I saw a dog and they said, yeah, it's a Labradoodle. I said, what? They said, yeah, it's a Labrador poodle mix. Well, the only poodle at that time I was familiar with was a little bitty dog, right? little bitty poodles that,
right,
you know,
right.
Like
there are small, there are big ones,
like rich people in Hollywood had, you know what I'm
carrying
saying?
Their purse.
Right, that's right, right, right. Well, you know, the old movies,
Fifi.
Right. Fifi, right.
What was the banker's wife on Beverly Hillbillies?
I don't remember. But
you know what I'm talking about?
Miss Drysdale?
Miss Drysdale. I think she had a little poodle, but I just couldn't imagine a cross between a dog that small and a dog that big. But
well, poodles can be large.
That's what I learned.
Oh, I see.
I was awoken to the world, or awakened
so you're
to
woke.
The world of large poodles.
Yes.
Which I didn't know existed. Anyway, good to have you back, brother. From
Thank
the
you.
Road, and I'm
glad
glad
you
got
yourself.
A new pet there in the house, and you can keep us posted on the Aussie doodle and tell me what kind of accent she barks in. She sounds like Paul Hogan or something. barks like Paul Hogan.
That's not a steak.
By the way, I've been to the Outback Steakhouse so many times, I've never heard anybody talk in that accent.
Talk Australian?
Yeah, that they do on the advertisement, you know.
Right, yeah.
So, all right, a lot to talk about today. Fred, go ahead.
Yes, we start off with some very sad news out of Atlanta this morning. Herman Cain, the former Republican presidential candidate and very successful businessman, 74 years old, passed away this morning after being admitted to hospital there in Atlanta on July 1st to be treated for the COVID-19. His death was announced by his website, Facebook page, and from the family, he's gone to be with the Lord. And so very sad, 74 years old. I think when it comes to presidential candidates, to well-known business people, Herman Cain was right up there in the conservative community. He was at the Tulsa rally with President Trump back several weeks ago. Now they were all tested going in there, and he was not found to have COVID at that time. But sadly, I think you're going to, as this story unfolds today, there may be some attempts to try to link his contracting this COVID-19 with that rally. But a valiant fight that Herman Cain gave.
Yeah.
There was even some reports, I think, yesterday that he was doing better, but this morning, the sad news that he has passed away.
Well, a story about Herman Cain, and for listeners who've been with us a long time, you know, 10, 20 years, you may remember, Herman had a program on AFR. Mm. And it was a daily, Monday through Friday, talk program. And the way that came about, I was driving one night somewhere in the country, and I came across 750 WSB Atlanta, which is a clear channel AM station in the evenings that blasts probably over two-thirds of the country. And I began to listen to this fella, and he made so much sense to me, and you could tell he was a Christian. I listened to him a few more nights traveling, and called him up one day and said, "Hey, I'm Tim Wildman, American Family Radio. We would love to talk to you about doing a program on AFR." So he said, "Well, I'm real busy, Tim, but man, we began to talk. It was clear that we were kindred spirits and we had shared the same worldview. So I recruited him, and he agreed to come on and we sent him a Comrex, which is so he could do the program. For those who don't know, Comrex is like a portable radio connection with our network, so he would sound like he's in studio. And I guess he did that program for about 2 years. And then he told me one day, he said, "Tim, I regret, man, I'm going to have to stop doing the program on AFR." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I've decided run for president, so you can't do this, you know." And I said, "Well, we're going to miss you, but I understand and wish you the best and pray for you." And so that was probably, I'm just guessing, I haven't had time to look it up, I'm guessing that was 10 years ago.
It's 2012, looking at when he ran for president, you mean, for
yeah.
the nomination? It was 2012.
He would have been considering it before then. So anyway, it was around that time, 10, 2010 or so when he, you know, dropped off doing the day. And it was a lot on him to try to, you know, a guy that busy. He's a very successful businessman. But anyway, we developed a over-the-phone friendship, email friendship, text friendship. I was just looking this morning on my cell phone. I had Herman Cain. He's one of my contacts on there. So I'm saddened by this news, but he did know the Lord. He is in heaven.
Right.
And we're going to – but his voice is going to be missed. And then I know he was a friend of President Trump's too and spoke eloquently oftentimes for biblical and conservative values and in defense of the president. So I know the president's going to miss him
too. Well, he was co-chairman of Black Voices for Trump. This is the leftist news media is not going to treat him with any kind of respect, I don't think. Here's what the Independent, it's a British newspaper, here's the headline. Herman Cain dies from coronavirus after being hospitalized following Trump's Tulsa rally.
Mm-hmm.
So they are going, as Fred said, they are going to link this to Trump and Trump carelessly, quote unquote, having a rally, and that's what caused. Nobody knows where he got it.
Right.
You can't prove
right.
that, you know. And
but the left wing media, they can prove it.
Yeah, they don't
even,
need to. They don't need to
evidence.
Prove anything. They just need to.
Yeah.
Since they get control.
Can they not
majority.
Take just a few minutes to mourn his loss?
Right.
Without making it political already. By the way, if you want to join us today on Facebook or YouTube, just type in Today's Issues and you can watch the live video stream of the program we do here. You'll see Ray, Tim, and Ed. You won't see Fred. We don't have a camera.
We won't
see Ray today?
Just you and me, Tim.
Okay. Wow.
Really the worst of the four.
Well, I don't know.
I'll speak for myself.
Ray and I are cloaked.
That's right. That's right. We're just
don't
disembodied
get me started.
Voices.
Well, okay. So if we're on Earth, Fred's on Venus. Where are you, Ray? You're on Neptune?
And Saturn.
Saturn.
And moving outward all the time.
Well, anyway, if you want to join us there, we're posting the stories that we talk about on our Facebook page. And also, we appreciate everybody who listens and posts there on Facebook. And we live stream on YouTube as well. You're listening to American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
Yeah, this is going to come as shocking news. A tweet from the president this morning is likely to create some controversy.
Read the whole thing. You have it, I have it.
I have it right in front of me. Let's begin the quote. With universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote? ?
Ray, we're going to let you dive into that first.
Look, I tell you what I think is going on here. The president is a master. He's a world-class master at stirring the pot, right? He knew exactly what he was doing. You know, he even put not just the question mark, but Fred, as you said, one, two, three question marks to drive the left-wing media crazy. I think this is an example, that 4D chess that we sometimes talk about. Number one, I think the president is planning on winning. I think he expects to win. And I think he's going to use all the hubbub that this tweet is going to cause so that when he does win, and he has won on November the 4th, he can say, see, we all agreed November 3rd was the date. Whoever won then is going to be the president. So I think this is tremendous political theater by the president.
Well, I read that when I first heard about this 15 minutes ago, whenever it was.
This is breaking.
But
yeah.
Without having read the tweet itself, I was a little taken aback by that. I thought this is a bad idea because the left already says he wants to be a perpetual dictator, you know, and not go away, and he's not going to leave the White House. This is only going to confirm their accusations, I guess you could say. But having read what Fred just read to us, you're right, Ray, it is provocative for sure. And I know this point will be lost on Jake Tapper and
Jim Acosta
and company. But he does begin the tweet by talking about the fraud that could come with universal mail-in voting.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really being considered, where the whole country votes by mail?
No.
Huh? Who's talking? What does he mean then?
What he's referencing there is the belief that because of the COVID-19 virus, a lot of people, here's the allegation, a lot of people are going to be afraid to go to the voting booth to vote. And therefore, you have many jurisdictions across the country that are advocating that these people be allowed to vote from home and mail in their ballots.
Now, there will be some of that.
What does the word universal mean then? Well, the president in this tweet is distinguishing, Ray, between universal mail-in voting and absentee voting, and I'm asking you all to tell me what the difference is.
Well, it's the theory that across the country there would be that somehow in all 50 states plus D.C., right, you could have – everybody could vote by mail, but that's not going to happen, right, Fred? I mean, that's
no.
Then why is the president talking about it?
Oh, I think people like AOC mm-hmm. and others on the left are pushing for that, but it's not going to happen because all you have to do is paint little circles on the floor or put little stickers on the floor, like are appearing everywhere in stores. Please stay 6 feet apart. And
you know what?
Wear
they
masks
do.
And gloves.
Well, why don't they do this? Why don't they just allow for 2 days of voting? What would be wrong with that? 2 days of physical voting.
Well, I don't know. This is kind of a question for Abe, but
you'd have
I mean,
to have volunteers.
The Constitution says on the first Tuesday of November. So
okay, it would have to be an adjustment to the Constitution.
I don't know. That's an Abe question. Abraham Hamilton III, our attorney. But that's in the Constitution. I don't know how hard it is.
There's no way the date could be changed. I mean, it can't be changed at this late moment. It could not be changed to say December or January, right? That's just
right.
That's legally, constitutionally impossible. It can't happen.
And then the
right?
president shouldn't be tweeting this stuff. This is garbage.
This is one of those things where I appreciate what Ray's saying, that he may be playing 4D chess.
I think it's exactly what he's doing.
Okay.
He wants to stir the pot, Tim.
He has created an issue. Listen to what some of the people have said on the from the other side of the political spectrum. Democratic National Committee said Trump's threat is nothing more than a desperate attempt to distract from today's devastating economic numbers that make it clear his failed response to the coronavirus has tanked the U.S. economy and caused tens of millions of Americans to lose their jobs. Now, they probably were going to say that today anyway.
Oh, really,
but,
Ed? You think maybe?
But now they're tying it to a threat. What they're
diversion.
Calling a threat to take over the election and change the date to his own.
I better explain my garbage before our listeners hit me with being against the president. I'm
right.
not against the president. I'm for the president. I think he's done a lot of wonderful things for our country. And I'm just saying, what I'm saying is, he does bring up a valid point about the dangers with massive universal mail-in voting and keeping that honest, right? I mean, as Jerry Nadler said, mail-in voting is ripe with fraud. Massive mail-in voting.
Right.
I do agree with Nadler on that point. Now, so that is a point to be well taken. But when the president tweets, delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote, ? If you're telling me, Ed and Ray, and I don't know if Fred chimed in on this, I apologize for not knowing this myself, but what you're saying is that is a constitutionally designated date. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, then the president should not tweet, delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote, because he can't. Short a constitutional amendment. Is that what you're telling me?
Unless there's some emergency powers that Congress has, like in the event of a catastrophe. I don't know. That's why I said that's an Abraham Hamilton III.
Could it be changed because of the pandemic, Ed? I mean, could that excuse be given for moving it?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
This is why we pay Abe the big bucks right here.
That's right.
We want to get Abe in here, 10:45. Tell him his boss wants him in here. That'll get him over here. And we want an answer to this question.
That's right.
Brent, you got it?
Can the president change the date?
Throw in my 100.
Can anyone change the date?
Right. Yeah. Short of a constitutional.
The AP story that we've been reading from here says it would take an act of Congress.
Okay.
In order to change the date. So I think the answer to
that's what my
Tim's
wife
question.
Says a lot.
You know what?
Take an act of Congress to get you off your lawn chair.
And nowadays, I don't think there's any such thing as an act of Congress because they don't do much of anything.
It's an executive order. I know. I do.
I did not realize this.
See if Abe can answer that question or not.
This Fox story says 5 states currently vote entirely by mail. Washington State, Oregon, no surprise. Colorado, Utah, and Hawaii.
What does that mean? Does that mean they don't even have polling places?
I guess that. So if 5 states currently vote entirely by mail.
Wow.
So I guess you don't. I don't know how they validate these things. You know, with absentee balloting, as we've mentioned on this show, I don't want to keep repeating ourselves, but you have to go down to City Hall or to the Chancellery, wherever you go. And you have to sign an affidavit, and you request the ballot. With these mail-in ballots, they send it to your last known address. And if you're there, great. If you're not, somebody else potentially can fill it out and drop it in the mailbox. Nobody will know who did it. That's what's obviously wrong about not going down to the polling place and showing your ID.
Well, let me ask you this. The president also said he shouldn't have sent this tweet out, in my opinion. I understand what you're saying, Ray, but I think this is a big mistake when he says with universal mail-in voting, because of what he says, it says 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. Oh, really? Okay, what if you're elected?
Yeah, well, what if he wins?
Right. Well, but no, he's saying if we go to universal mail-in voting.
Yeah, well, what if we go to universal mail-in voting and he wins?
Well, then it's
still
going to
be the most inaccurate.
we would have a little problem.
You see what I'm saying?
There. Yes, that's
sure.
That's
sure,
good
we
point.
Would have a little problem there.
Anyway, next tweet. Next.
Do you have a short story, Fred?
I think Tim has already referenced this, that the report this morning, the U.S. economy shrank 33% in the second quarter. Hey, listen, there's no shock in this story.
No, I know.
You know, this is when the pandemic exploded. We shut everything down on the advice of the medical experts. And so people laid off, stores closed, the whole thing. But the only stuff that was open was, you know, the Walmart on the corner and a few grocery stores. So this is no surprise. Even in the AP story on this morning, they say it's going to bounce back at least 17 points next month.
On the other hand, I think the Trump campaign had better have some pretty good ads to combat this narrative, because this is going to be the narrative by the Democrats and the Joe Biden campaign is, yes, we're having a terrible time in the economy, and it's Trump's fault because he failed to respond to the coronavirus.
That'll be the spin.
That's the spin. So I hope the Trump campaign has some good answers for that, because that's a damaging narrative for the president.
Dr. Fauci, you've got some new attire he'd like for us to don.
Yes.
All right, we'll discuss that after the break. Okay.
And excuse me, I forgot to wear my hazmat suit here to the studio. So,
all right. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us. You can use this information right here.
Tim Wildman discusses life's most important issues.
So you could have a sea turtle alive out there right now that was here during the Civil War.
It's like getting a university degree.
Kind of.
Tell the world.
Here's the question, Ed. How wide is the wingspan of the world's largest roach species?
Listen to the Trivia Friday edition of Today's Issues, Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday. Woo.
Have you ever wanted to walk where Jesus walked? That's right, Israel, the Holy Land. That's where we're going in March 2021. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We have set our dates for our trip, March 16th through the 24th, and we'd love to have you join us for this, for many people, once-in-a-lifetime trip to the Holy Land. For more information, just visit the website, twholyland.com. twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your home, we can do that. You need to call 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll get that brochure in the mail to you. Again, it's going to be a wonderful time with Christian brothers and sisters from around the country as we go and see Israel.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
The San Francisco Giants are making headlines after they disrespected the United States of America by taking a knee during the national anthem. A number of the players dropped to a knee as the Star-Spangled Banner echoed through an empty baseball stadium. Giants manager Gabe Kapler joined his team, says he's not happy with the way the country's handling police brutality, said he wanted to amplify the voices of the black and marginalized communities. President Trump voiced his displeasure with the Giants, says he loves sports, but anytime he sees a player kneeling during the national anthem, he's changing the channel. Good for you, Mr. President. And I suspect a lot of freedom-loving sports fans feel the same way. And by the way, those overpaid athletes, if they're not careful, those empty seats may become permanent. Be sure to catch my national radio show noon to 3 Eastern, or you can download the entire show online at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Somebody very close to me said, back off the president. Leave him alone. So, okay, I will. I'm just kidding. What were we talking about? I was critical of the president's tweet here this morning. Fred said it's, Ray said it's a P.T. Barnum moment or something like that. What did you say? Master showman? Provocateur?
That's a good word.
Okay. He's stirring the pots, what you said.
That's right.
The president tweeted this morning, then we'll move on. He retweeted, with universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote. He didn't say, I can delay. He didn't say that. That's what it'll be interpreted as. He can't. It takes an act of Congress to delay, to change the voting date. As Ed said, it's constitutionally mandated that we vote the first Tuesday of November, right?
Yeah, it's something like the first Tuesday after the first Monday.
Okay. But anyway, the point is this tweet will be taken as, see there, we told you the guy doesn't want to leave the White House.
Yes.
And whatever the election results are that he loses, it's going to be inaccurate and unfair.
He'll use his stormtroopers.
He won't accept it, and he won't leave the White House. Right. Anyway, it fits into that. We'll be a new tweet tomorrow, or this afternoon. So I don't think that was a good idea for him to send that out, but that's my opinion. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and if you'd like to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Fred, our next guest.
Yes, we have Jan Markell from Understanding the Times on the line with us from not-so-cool Minnesota.
Minneapolis.
Jan, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on. What is the weather report from the great state of Minnesota today? It's probably pleasant, I would guess.
Well, yeah, we have hot and humid, just like you folks do. Unfortunately, that we only have that for 1 month out of 12.
So. I understand.
The other 11 months, it snows.
But all those fires you guys got going up there, that probably will take care of some
that
of the snow.
That was uncalled
for. That was terrible.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There are parts of Minneapolis, St. Paul that are no more. And I mean, I'll tell you, I haven't seen it because, and I think I'd be reduced to tears if I did, because, you know, those are businesses, lifelong businesses gone in both Minneapolis and St. Paul. So it's pretty sad.
Yeah. Fred, you had a question for Jan?
Yeah, Jan, we've talked about before about the degree of anti-Semitism that seems to be growing in our culture. And there's been a couple of stories related to how social media has handled, for instance, Holocaust deniers. And some Holocaust survivors are taking Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook to task, because apparently he doesn't have a problem with the Holocaust denier groups posting all kinds of things on Facebook. And he basically says, well, they have a right to do that kind of thing. And these Holocaust survivors have been saying even this week, well, you take down conservative postings, you take down postings you know, from President Trump when he says something about the COVID-19 virus that you disagree with, but you're okay with groups saying that 6 million Jews did not die in the Holocaust. You don't have a problem with that.
Well, I think this is the inconsistency of liberalism, you know, and sadly Mark Zuckerberg is Jewish himself, but I think his real faith is liberalism, and that is so often the case with liberals. They tend to be godless, and whatever liberalism heralds, that's what they want to. But you know, this is an event in history that I don't know what's been more well documented. I've even written a book on the Holocaust, True Story of Anita Dittman and Her Survival as a Jewish Believer at that time. I mean, the historical records, the photos, and all of that. So I mean, it's insanity to suggest. I mean, some will just say, well, no, 6 million weren't killed. Perhaps just a million or whatever that what numbers they want to make up, but that isn't the point. I mean, you can only do that to Jews. You couldn't do this to African Americans or even to Buddhists or certainly not Muslims. But we can do it to the Jews, and it's an inconsistency that drives me nuts, particularly when it's Mark Zuckerberg who's Jewish by birth.
But just to give folks an example of the kinds of things that are allowed to be posted on this subject. Yeah. There's a group, Real World War II History, and this is one of the postings, one from February this year, in which a commentator said the Zyklon B gas used to kill Jews in Nazi death camps was actually employed to kill the lice that spread typhus, claiming this chemical was used to improve the inmates' health and reduce, not increase, camp mortality. That was allowed to stand on Facebook. It's an outright lie.
I think, you know, this is why we've been having these hearings in Congress, and I'm just grateful that some in Congress are pushing back against, the masters of the universe here, because, you know, they really do control a good deal of what we read and perceive and understand and study, and they're so off base. It can be almost terrifying. Then we had these doctors the other day who were giving the truth about corona, and they were roundly blocked by big tech. So I think we have a problem on our hands, but I think we've let it happen, and we need to push back and Yeah, I don't know how we do that, but I'm glad a few in Congress are speaking out.
Absolutely. And you know, Twitter, not to be outdone in all of this. Twitter, it's okay with posting things from Iran, calling for the elimination, the wiping out of the Israeli people. Twitter doesn't have a problem with that. But
you're talking about the Iranian Ayatollah leader?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, well, this is what he tweeted yesterday. Excuse me, this is the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei tweet.
Not the Iranian version of.
Right, this is Twitter. Today, more than ever, the interest of the Islamic nation lies in unity, the type of unity that creates power against enemies and shouts out loudly at the embodied Satan, the encroaching U.S., and its chained dog, the Zionist regime, and stands up against aggression. This is from the same.
But didn't he end it with "Have a nice day"? I think that's what got him off.
Yeah.
You know, the hate list there. What the point is, and it needs to be stressed, as Jan talked about, Fred's talking about, Twitter bans Donald Trump Jr.'s account for putting him in timeout or whatever.
Right.
And took down the video of the doctors at the Supreme Court the other day talking about the effectiveness of
hydroxychloroquine.
Yes, and zinc and other combinations. Doctors, multiple doctors there. One doctor, the African American lady, truly
Stella Emanuel.
She testified that 350 of her patients had recovered using this. So that's worthy of taking down, but the Ayatollah comments about the great Satan, the U.S., and their chain dog Israel are left up.
Right.
So what does that tell you where Twitter stands, you know?
Yeah.
So,
But gentlemen, I think you would agree with me that we are in the days of Isaiah 5:20, mm-hmm. where evil is called good and good is called evil, and mm-hmm. we just have to push back. I mean, AFA and other right. organizations, including mine, need to just keep getting the truth and pushing the truth and pushing the truth. As much as possible for our listeners and followers. That's all we can do.
Jan is the host of Understanding the Times radio program. It's heard each weekend on American Family Radio at noon on Sunday Central Time and Saturdays as well. At what time on Saturdays, Jan?
1:00 Central.
Yeah, 1:00.
Yes.
Central Time on American Family Radio. And your website is?
OliveTreeViews.org, and thank you, gentlemen, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jan. Take care.
Bye-bye now.
That's Jan Markell. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ray, Fred, and Ed. So, Ray.
Yeah.
Dr. Fauci yesterday, the acclaimed Dr. Fauci.
We have that audio, by the way.
Oh, we do? The audio I'm about to talk about?
Yes.
Well, we will let Dr. Fauci speak for himself, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
I think we're going to get to a point where eye protection is recommended.
You know, it might. I mean, if you really want perfect protection of your mucosal surfaces, just for your audience, Jan, as you very well will know, you have mucosa in the nose, mucosa in the mouth, but you also have mucosa in the eye. And that's one of the things that, you know, theoretically, you should protect all the mucosal surfaces. So if you have goggles or an eye shield, you should use it. I mean, it's not universally recommended, but if you really want to be complete, you should probably use it if you can.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Goggles up next. I'm just thinking how this is going to affect my golf game.
That's right. Are you going to wear goggles out on the course?
That's what I'm wondering. Am I going to see others? Am I going to give in to peer pressure?
Face shields
on the golf course or riding horses? Or now people are already riding motorbikes. A lot of them already use them. Yeah. What do you think about this, Ray? This idea of goggles. I guess medically he's.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Look, if you're going to cover your face, if your mouth,
right.
if you're going to cover your nose, let's go all the way and cover the eyes too. What do you call it? Mucosal surfaces, right? So, sure.
Everybody has mucosal
Do we have Mukil surfaces?
Ray. Everybody surfaces. Does.
Right. I don't think they have them at the Dollar Tree. I've looked.
No, they do. They're just the cheaper version.
Oh, okay.
In fact, a couple weeks ago, I bought a couple of mucosal surfaces. And they were a dollar, if you can believe it. What a deal.
Why is he talking? What's the point
of
that?
If you just want to be super safe, right?
Right.
Super safe. Although, if you wanted to be super safe, stay home. Stay home, stay in bed.
Or get a hazmat suit. Cover yourself from head to toe.
Right.
You breathe in, you know, purified oxygen. I mean, this.
Well, let's go back a few months here. Now, Dr. Fauci, way back several months ago, said masks, not necessary. And right. Then he started wearing masks for the TVs. But he wasn't wearing any goggles. Remember, behind the president? You see him behind the president there at the White House, bunch of people on the stage there. He wasn't wearing goggles or a face shield. But now, that's a good idea too. So why don't we add that to the list? I mean, honestly, what's next? Let's just mummify ourselves.
You know what? I got an idea. I have, you know, years ago I did some, you know, a little bit of swimming. I've got the swimming goggles and right. the, what do you call the thing, the breathing apparatus that goes up?
Snorkel.
That's what I'm going to start. I'm going to start wearing that, and I'm going to put a mask over the top of the snorkel. And that's flippers.
You know what? You guys disappoint flippers, me. Flippers, right. This is a man trying to save lives, and you guys are mocking him. Huh? Yeah.
That's mockable.
It's very mockable.
Everybody wearing goggles is mockable?
Yes.
Well, I tell you it does open up the criticism that so you're telling me masks don't work.
Well, he's saying for all the mucosal surfaces,
masks work for your nose and mouth. Your mouth,
except for
90% of the people who have them below their nose.
Yes,
you seen these people?
Yeah,
huh? They're halfway virtue signals.
Yeah, but I've got a mask on.
No, I think a lot of people don't want to. No, I haven't met anybody who says, I love this.
Yeah.
I love this right. mask. Those people say, I hate it, but yeah. I have to wear it. My employer makes me.
Yeah.
But then a lot of them, they drift down below their nose because they just can't breathe well.
Yeah.
So they, but they, anyway, it's a tough thing out there. I don't, you know, people want to wear a mask. That's fine. And I think there are certainly definitely appropriate times to wear a mask, seems to me, when you're in close quarters with people, like within 2 or 3 feet, like on an airplane, for example, you know, where you right. could sneeze or cough unintentionally right. in a second, not even be right. able to control
put
it.
Put the mask on and put the goggles on, right?
If you're yes, gonna... and I believe in that stores have a right to dictate their own business policies.
Right.
You know,
no shoes, no shirt, no service.
Yeah, and right. so if they want to require a mask, I can go in there and do that. Most restaurants now I know are requiring a mask to and from your seating area. But goggles being neck, it just sounds funny, right?
And I'm sure it looks funny.
Huh? To have everybody walking around with goggles
on. That's
what
I'm telling you. The snorkel, that would be the perfect mockery.
I like that.
The snorkel with the goggles mm-hmm. and the mask.
Hey, why not add the on your feet, you know?
Yeah, the flippers.
The flippers.
The flippers, yeah.
Yeah.
You never know, a few germs might get on that.
What are y'all talking about?
The flippers you wear
flippers,
when you swimming, go swimming.
Oh, for snorkeling.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Walking
just
around
put
there.
Put on a wetsuit. Yeah. Put on
a little wetsuit.
Yeah, a little right?
wetsuit. Oh, my. Bathing suit. We need to change the dress code even further.
I tell you what. I'm glad I'm already down life's road with my – I got grandchildren now. I don't have to worry about impressing a girl.
Right.
this is going to kill dating, isn't it? Are you going to ask a girl out, hey, you want to go out? Can you pull your mask down so I can see you? Make sure I got the right girl. And I got to ask you, go see a movie. No, we can't go see a movie. Go out to we'll find a restaurant, but.
Have to wear masks.
Are you going to wear goggles or no? Because I don't want to show up with goggles and then you not have goggles. That's kind of an awkward moment at the door.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So this is going to probably the birth rate in America is just going to take a nosedive right now.
Why? What are you saying?
Because I'm saying at least probably marriage. I don't
get it. What are you trying to say?
I'm going to.
We're going to let you walk out of the room by yourself.
Here we go. I will make a proclamation right now, and that is it's time to, quote, move on.
Move on.
Move on. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
All right. Well, we know in left-wing cities across the country, meaning Democrat.
Where is a right-wing city? I just want to know. Please point one out to me.
No, I differentiate between left-wing and common-sense cities. All right?
Okay.
Let's do it that way. We were just talking to Jan Markell up there in Minneapolis, Seattle, Portland. They want to either totally defund the police departments or cut them back. 50%, 60%. New York is doing this kind of thing. We knew this was going to happen. But it's really kind of interesting that the first police to react to all of this are the police that were supposed to provide security for the Democrat convention coming up in Milwaukee.
That's what President Trump should have tweeted about.
Yes, that's right.
There you go.
And he probably will.
Yeah. Now, they wanted about 1,000 officers there for security for this convention that's coming up in just a few weeks.
1,000?
Yep. You know, so they were bringing in police departments from around Milwaukee to kind of augment all of this. Well, a lot of these departments are saying because of the rules that you put in place, like we're not allowed to use tear gas, not allowed to have pepper spray, any of that, we ain't coming. That's what they're saying. Here's Randy Sutton of the Wounded Blue Group, which provides financial and mental help for wounded police officers, on why more than 100 police agencies have pulled out of their commitment to work at that Democrat National Convention in Milwaukee. Cut three.
The politicians who have been staunchly anti-law enforcement have taken the tools away for crowd control, which are low lethality munitions, tear gas, pepper spray. That's the only way to control out-of-control crowds. When you take those tools away, you endanger even more the people in the area and law enforcement officers who are receiving unbelievable numbers of injuries because of the decisions made by the politicians. Quite literally, they're using their officers for cannon fodder. This isn't about R or D here. This is about the safety of the law enforcement officers who are being tasked with defending the political process.
Now, I didn't think they were going to have. I thought Democrat and Republican conventions are canceled, and they're going to be virtual.
The Republican convention in Jacksonville. Now the president.
No, it's Tallahassee.
Beg your pardon?
No, it was Jacksonville.
Did y'all not see Biden's press conference yesterday?
Oh, right.
He said it's in Tallahassee.
Okay. Did he really?
No, yes, he did.
No. Yeah, he missed another.
He said it's in Tallahassee.
Oh yeah. Man!
And a reporter had to say. You mean Jacksonville.
Right.
So that's what I was referring to. Go ahead.
There is going to be several hundred are expected in Milwaukee for that convention. Joe Biden said the other day he's going there to do his acceptance speech.
Yeah, they're not going to have delegates from around the country.
No.
That's
so you got 300 people in attendance and you're wanting 1,000 cops?
Do you want hundreds of cops there? Yes.
Well,
you must be expecting a lot of mayhem.
I think there's going to be a lot of far left people who are going to show up and they're going to demand X, Y, and Z.
Their people. Why are they going to attack their own people?
Because of the embarrassment. Well, don't you remember the 68 Democratic National Convention in Chicago?
I was five at the time, I really don't remember.
So remember, but what happened there was you had especially young people. But the radical element that existed in this country, it's kind of being mirrored now, who wanted out of Vietnam, they showed up, and Mayor Richard Daley turned out the police, and they cracked heads in Chicago outside that convention center, but it looked really bad for the Democrats. And I think they're hoping that having a sizable police presence prevents that from happening again.
But no police. What Fred is saying is the Democrats are trying to recruit security for their convention. Mm-hmm. And when is it?
It's in the first week, second week of August, maybe.
It's too late. They're trying to secure the mean police, the bad police, who they want to defund. They want them to come in and provide security for their convention, and the cops are saying, we're not doing it.
I'm sick that week.
We're not doing it. We're not doing it because you're tying our hands.
That's right.
You're tying our hands. You're telling us to give security while you tell us all the things we can't do to provide security, so we decline.
Yep.
So what are they going to do, Fred? I've heard they want the National Guard now. I did read that. The National Guard.
That's going to be a good optic.
Yeah.
It's Monday, August 17th.
I would just
Thursday,
cancel the whole thing. I'd cancel the whole convention, say we're going completely virtual. This is probably what they're going to do. And that Joe Biden, our nominee, will be giving his talk from Tallahassee.
His basement where he and his geese reside.
Yesterday, bless his heart.
Oh, man. Oh.
Did you hear this, Ray? Did you see it yesterday?
Yeah.
Do we have the intro? We have his opening remarks at his press conference yesterday. That is former vice president. Did we talk about that?
Yeah, it's cut number seven.
All right, cut number seven. Let me set this up. Again, we always have to say this. I feel the need to say this. You don't want to make fun of people with dementia or Alzheimer's or memory losses. If we all live long enough, we're going to get there probably. So that's not the point. That would be wrong to do. However, when somebody is running for the presidency, the president of the United States wants to be the leader of the free world, and they're having cognitive decline before the whole world to see, and that has to be a consideration when people go vote. And so the Vice President Biden gets out of his home to go, I don't know how long it is, 5-10 miles or whatever, to an event center. It looked like to me like a high school gym where he holds his press conferences and to give a speech. And here's how it starts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Kingswood Community Center. Actually, that's the one down I used to work as a joke. You didn't know where we were. Anyway, it's great to be here. And
That wasn't a joke.
No, it wasn't a joke.
No.
There's nothing funny about it.
The man is in his own hometown, basically. Mm. Well, he lied about it being a joke.
Right.
It was not a joke. He didn't know where he was. He forgot where he was.
If it was a joke, there would have at least been something funny about it.
Right.
Okay, even if it's not terribly funny, it's a joke. If I give you a knock-knock joke, everyone
nobody
knows.
Chuckled or anything. No.
Ray, you think there's a chance the Democrats will still come up with somebody else?
Between now and the convention?
Yeah.
No.
No, not by the convention, by November.
Maybe. Look.
You can't have this. You cannot have this.
You can't have this in the Oval Office.
Now, what you may do is... Biden may say, look, elect me president, and then when I'm after the inauguration, I'll resign and hand it off to whoever my VP is.
Yeah, that's dangerous. That's,
and that's a scary thought.
That's devastating, too.
Mm. Why?
Well, because you don't know, first of all, you don't know who your vice president is going to select for a vice president. I just think if it gets even worse or becomes more the public becomes even more aware that he has some serious cognitive problems, then he's going to lose, and the Democrat and the Bernie Sanders people are going to be really angry because the DNC chose Biden over Bernie Sanders. This could be a complete disaster for the Democrats.
All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.